their locations determined by satellites and accurate to within yards. These positions are simultaneously transmitted to race organizers ashore. Today's racers cannot get lost or file false reports of progress. If they get into trouble, rescue aircraft can often reach their exact locations in a matter of hours. They may race through the most dangerous waters in the world, but their safety net is wide and efficient. The Golden Globe racers sailed in the age before satellites provided pinpoint navigation and verification of positions. Like Captain Cook in the 18th century, they navigated by sextant, sun, and stars. Their world at sea was far closer to that earlier age than to ours today. When they sailed, heading for the world's stormiest seas in a motley array of new and old boats, they vanished over the horizon into a true unknown. The only information of their whereabouts and what was happening to them came from their own radio transmissions. In time, the radios broke down. Several sailors carried no radios at all. One man sending reports of tremendous progress that made him appear a likely winner never, in fact, left the Atlantic Ocean, but tried to fake his passage around the world. Compared with the yachts of today, their boats were primitive and unsophisticated, and small. The living space in which the sailors planned to spend the better part of a year was about the size of a Volkswagen bus. These men sailed for reasons more complex than even they knew. Each decided to make his voyage independent of the others. The race between them was born only of the coincidence of their timing. They were not sportsmen or racing yachtsmen. One didn't even know how to sail when he set off. Their preparations and their boats were as varied as their personalities, and the contrasts were startling. Once at sea, they were exposed to conditions frightening beyond imagination and a loneliness almost unknown in human experience. Sealed inside their tiny craft, beyond the world's gaze, stripped of any possibility of pretense, the sailors met their truest selves. Who they were, not the sea or the weather, determined the nature of their voyages. They failed and succeeded on the grandest scale. Only one of the nine crossed the finish line after 10 months at sea and passed through fortune's elusive membrane into the sunny world of fame, wealth, and glory. For the others, the rewards were a rich mixture of failure, ignominy, sublimity, madness, and death. The race was the logical inevitability of the first tentative passage made by a man daring to float across a lagoon on a log. In the end, alone and without stopping, he floated so far that he arrived back at the place from where he started, there being no farther earthbound voyage. Like the first ascent of Everest, it was a feat without any larger purpose than its own end. But like a trip to the moon, it was a voyage that provided man with another benchmark of the far reach of his yearning endeavor. The Golden Globe race happened in a different world, as distant, in terms of our experience with the sea, as Joseph Conrad's. The story of that race now has the feel of an older romance of the sea, a tale of unlikely, heroic, desperate, and tragic characters. At the time of the Golden Globe race, I was a schoolboy in England. I knew nothing of sailboats and sailing. But a few years later, I took a brief, disastrous, frightening, and wildly exciting trip aboard an old wooden schooner, and my life derailed and spun away seaward. I spent a decade and a half seriously afloat. I worked my way up from paint-scraping grunt to licensed professional yacht captain, delivering sailboats for owners in the Mediterranean, the Caribbean, and across the Atlantic. Eventually, my wife and I bought our own small wooden sailboat and moved aboard it.